May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We are here in Lent, and despite some bad press and some traditions and some teaching, Lent is not about being miserable. I remember when I moved from Atlanta to Maine and experienced the change of the natural world there in the season of Lent. I told my congregation it was easier for me to keep Lent in Maine because every year in Maine, in Lent, it was mud season. And the natural world, if you've ever been in mud season, you know, it's cold, it's rainy, everything's melting, and everything is sticky and yucky. And in Atlanta, where we had been before that, every year in Lent, it looked like Easter, all of Lent. It was in full flower, and sometimes it peaked well before Easter. So that was totally out of sync with the liturgical calendar. But what I meant by that was not that it was important to be miserable in mud in Lent, but that it was easier for me to focus on my own spiritual life when the world around me was muddy. Now, in Florida, I find that allergy season for many of us coincides with Lent. So even though the weather is often fine this time of year, many of us can't enjoy that as we would like. And so that becomes part of our Lenten experience. But Lent is not about being miserable. We come to Lent every year, it is a little bit different. We come just as we are with whatever is going on in our life at the time and wherever we are. The world outside affects our experience of Lent as well. What Lent is about is an invitation to journey closer to God. Now, as we do that, we may indeed feel miserable at times for a variety of reasons, but that is not the goal. The goal is to journey towards God. One of my seminary professors, Don Saliers, talked about the double journey that we make in our spiritual lives. We journey towards God outward, the God who is found outside of ourselves. And at the same time, we journey inward towards the God who is already inside of us, the Christ in us. As we say in our baptismal vow, we seek and serve Christ in all persons. So we journey inward towards the image of God that was planted in us at our beginning and that was activated by the Spirit in our baptism. One way that we can do that is to look at the impediments that we put in the way, the things that separate us from God, the ways that we sin. And then we pray for God to help us remove those impediments, or at least make them less powerful, and to help us become the person that God intends for us to be. So the double journey, outward to God and inward to God. As we know ourselves better, as we know our own temptations, our own things we are tempted by, our own spiritual selves better, we also become closer to God. And both journeys are necessary for the spiritual journey, outward and inward. Now, most of us do not do this kind of work willingly or by ourselves. So we can look at the season of Lent as a gift that the church gives us that encourages us to do that inner work, always remembering that we are journeying towards the God who loves us unconditionally. So Lent is a time that is set apart by our tradition, a time that we are encouraged to slow down, to be reflective. And our liturgy reflects this change. You'll notice we will have more silence in the liturgy. We begin with the penitential order and the confession. We have very few ornaments in Lent. We won't have flowers, no postludes, no alleluias. We're saving those all up for Easter. Lent is a time for us to take stock of our lives. We are invited to take this journey as individuals and as a community of faith. Can we accept the opportunity and the challenge of Lent? Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity in God and who God wanted him to be. And so, though he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he fasted and prayed for 40 days, Jesus stayed connected to God and he remembered God's love. And so the devil had no hold on him. The temptations were very crafty. They seemed to make sense in an odd sort of way. You are hungry. You've done so well in the desert for 40 days. Why not just make yourself a nice meal? You can do it. It would be so easy. Just turn this stone into bread, the devil said. Later, Jesus would perform a miracle to feed thousands of hungry people. But now he remembers his identity in God, and he is not taken in. So the devil turned up the volume. You can have glory and authority over the whole earth right now. A special kind of power. Why wait? Think of all the good things that you could do. All you have to do is worship me. Later, God will give Jesus honor and glory. That, as we sang, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But now, he remembers who he is. He remembers his identity in God, and he passes this temptation by. And the last temptation was interesting. You are special, beloved by God. God will protect you. You are invulnerable. Why not prove it to everyone? These temptations have some truth in them. That's what makes them so dangerous. Later, Christ would willingly become vulnerable, putting aside his divinity and dying on the cross. Now, though, Jesus knows who he is. He knows his identity in God. He remembers God's love, and he does not put it to the test. This past Thursday, Ash Thursday, as we call it in this diocese, the clergy gathered with our bishop in Sarasota this year for the Chrism Eucharist, where the bishop gathers all the clergy. We usually do a renewal of ordination vows and blesses the oil that we use for baptism, the chrism, and also the oil that we use for healing, the oil of unction. This year, we also had a special guest, the former presiding bishop of our church, Frank Griswold. He is a wonderful spiritual teacher. When I was in the Diocese of Maine, he came and did a clergy retreat for us. So this is the second time I was able to spend a day with him. And all of us received blessings from his presence with us. He shared many things with us. A couple of the things he said really stuck with me. He told us that in the desert tradition, the ancient tradition of monasticism, they would say, unawareness is the root of evil. Unawareness is the root of evil. And he invited us to think about things and think about times when we just didn't want to be aware of something, but we really could have done something about it if we had paid attention. Sometimes unawareness is intentional, and sometimes it's unintentional. And he went on to say that when we become more aware of ourselves and of the world around us, then we open up possibilities for repentance and transformation. He also said this about repentance, that it's not always simply a question of looking at the discrete patterns of our sinfulness, the ways that we particularly are tempted to sin. But repentance has to do with asking the deeper question about whether my heart is a heart of flesh or of stone. How welcoming is your heart, he said. Throughout the scriptures, there are passages we hear about God, the people's hearts being hardened, either not listening to God or refusing to do what God wanted them to do. And so there's this tension in the scriptures between hard hearts and hearts that are open to God, hearts that are hearts of flesh instead of hearts of stone. So being open to God's grace, seeing God at work in the world around us, even in surprising places, allowing God to speak to our hearts, and inviting God to break open the places in our hearts that remain fixed and hard, this can be the work of Lent. So as we journey together in these 40 days towards God, outward and inward, may God give us all the grace this Lent to open our hearts to his love and compassion, that our hearts of stone may become hearts of flesh. Amen.
Amen.